I'm standing on the river beach in Tynmouth, waiting for the ferry from Sheldon, which crosses the River Teme between the two towns on the south coast of Devon. Today is cold and wintry, the sort of day that holds a frost on the ground and a crispness in the air. It's clear and bright, and there are rays of sunshine beaming down and sparkling on the water. There's a smell of salt and seaweed in the air, and it mingles with the occasional waft of frying onions coming from the food hut at the side of the lifeboat slipway behind me. Away to the right, the river curves around towards the north, past the docks and the yacht moorings, under Sheldon Bridge, and then away many miles upstream to its source on Dartmoor, which I can just see as a dark shadow in the distance. To my left lies a spit of sand, called the Point, and behind this the big sandstone cliff, known as the Ness, glows red in the low winter sunlight. From my position here on the beach, it appears as though the two join, creating a lake rather than a river mouth. Yet between these two landmarks, the river does indeed flow out into the English Channel. Along the shingle beach, there's a tide line of driftwood and kelp, and among this there are various objects. There's an odd shoe, a bicycle wheel, some fishing line, hooks and floats, and a deceased crab with its shell pecked away by the birds. Wooden beach huts stand along this end of the beach, painted in many different colours, some old, some new. And in front of these there are many small rowing dinghies, which are tenders to the yachts moored further up the river. The ferry boat can be seen on the opposite shore, and it's setting off on that 5-minute journey over the river. I'm impatient to get out on the water and feel the swaying of the boat beneath my feet. But for 5 minutes I must stand and wait. The River Teme ferry has a longer recorded working history than any other in England, and has been crossing between Tynmouth and Sheldon since the 10th century. Until the first Sheldon Bridge was built in 1827, the ferry provided the only easy way across the river. It would have been far busier than it is today, and must have been tough for the ferryboat man, rowing backwards and forwards all day, carrying hundreds of passengers. Then, at the beginning of the 20th century, two motorised ferries were built, and these same boats still run today. I remember travelling across on the ferry when I was very young, when a trip over the river was an adventure. It would seem like hours that I would stand on the seat, with wind blowing through my hair, looking at the far shore, growing slowly closer. Now the 5 minutes just flies past. As the ferry reaches Tynmouth Beach, the ferry boat driver slows the engine to a gentle hum as the bow scrunches up the sand. He pushes the plank out onto the beach, and jumping down tugs it securely into place, ready for the passengers to board. There's a pole on either side of the boat, which he digs into the sand and prevents the boat from swinging around and getting stuck on the beach. The ferry boatman's hand hovers reassuringly, ready to help anyone having difficulty in climbing aboard via the narrow walkway. I remember a big-shouldered man with a bushy beard and a sailor's cap, whose strong arms ensured I was always safely in the boat when I was small. I sit down on one of the many wooden benches that line the inside of the boat, and the lapping of the water against the shore appears louder and more noticeable. The engine vibrates the boat slightly, as if impatient to leave, and the gentle waves rock the boat just enough to remind you that you are afloat. From the seats running around the gunwale, I can turn around and look down into the cold grey water. Sand eels in large shoals are a common sight, their bodies reflecting the chill wintry light in a brief flash of silver as they flick and glide through the water. In the summer, it's sometimes possible to catch a rare glimpse of a larger fish, a sea bass or a mullet perhaps, waiting for a chance to feast upon the smaller prey. But there's none here today. Having seen that all the passengers are safely on board, the captain revs up the engine and brings the ferry round to look towards Sheldon. A fresh, crisp breeze greets my face, stinging the cheeks and making the eyes water. The boat begins its voyage over the river, pushing Tynmouth away and making for the smaller village on the other side. There's a sense of excitement, as though travelling to a faraway place rather than the well-known village of Sheldon. The shrill cry of seagulls can be heard as they circle above, awaiting the arrival of fishing boats from far out at sea. From further up the river comes the distant hum of traffic crossing Sheldon Bridge, which is the only other direct method of passage between the two towns. Occasionally, a loud boom or crash comes from the docks, as cranes and forklift trucks load huge cargo ships with various materials ready to be exported far over the sea. The ferry boat slows as it hits the middle of the river, the strong tide willing it not to pass through the invisible barrier between the two towns. At certain times of year, the moon causes huge tides called neaps, when the water has been known to flow right up to the beach hut doors and even inside. 12 hours later, the water will have disappeared as though sucked down a drain, so that only a small stream flows down the channel and out of the river mouth. As I look left mid-journey between Tynmouth and Sheldon, it is possible to see between the point and the Ness headland and far out to sea. Out there in the waves, sailing boats race, their full sails catching each gust of wind and running away from it, leaving only a ripple behind them. During particularly hot summers, dolphins swim in their wake, leaping and diving, playing with the white horses in the waves, with no motor engine to disturb the peace. I wish I was out there, feeling free and alive, allowing the wind to take me wherever it pleases, and watching the dolphins as they perform their acrobatics. Today, though, only a solitary white sail gleams in the low sunlight, flapping occasionally as the breeze drops away, and there are no dolphins in the cold winter sea. The journey across the mouth of the River Teen only takes about 5 minutes, so within no time at all, the boat crunches aground on the shores of its destination. The ferryboatman once again pushes out the plank, securing it in that way that has become to him so routine after several years of the same thing. Having taken the ferry to Sheldon countless times, the beach is familiar to me and holds many childhood memories. Sandcastles, ice creams, Punch and Judy, digging holes in the sand, and getting stung by a wasp. Yet for others it is a new experience. So ready to be confronted with different people, opportunities, activities and scenery, the passengers getting off could be anywhere in the world, and I can pretend. It could be a different stretch of sand, and a different road, ready to lead me anywhere.